Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Jesus says to his disciples back then and to his disciples right here this morning, when you pray, prayer, think about that. What's prayer mean to you? How do you pray? What happens when you pray? There's a great Norwegian spiritual writer from the early 20th century, O. Hellesby, and he says, to pray is to let Jesus come into your heart, to open to Jesus in your heart. Sometimes if you get here early, you can open the front of your bulletin, of your hymnal, and pages like 63 or so to 93. It's all prayers. Prayers for the day, prayers for church, prayers for the worship service, prayers for travel, prayers for agriculture, prayers for the nation, all kind of wonderful prayers, and prayers of classical prayers, like from St. Francis, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace, and or St. Augustine and St. Ignatius. There are many prayers that are models in there. What is prayer? Jesus says, when you pray, say this. Jesus presumes that for we Christians, we people of the Spirit, prayer is as natural for the Spirit as breathing is for the biological body. We need to pray. It's our lifeblood with God. It's something that comes from our faith. If you know about one of the best helps for people that are in addictions, the 12-step program. And when they start their meetings, they always pray this prayer by Reinhold Niebuhr. It says, you know, Lord, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. A wonderful prayer, and it helps them. Jesus gives us today his prayer. We have Luke's version, but on a Sunday we usually pray Matthew's version from the Sermon on the Mount, Our Father who art in heaven. Perfect prayer, a wonderful prayer to reflect about it and think about. And then after this, Jesus, after giving us his classical prayer, he gives us a story. Jesus tells about a man who, his children, it was night, you know, they went to bed. Now, in the first Middle East in the first century there, you know, really hospitality was a big thing. Remember a few weeks ago we read about Abraham and Sarah, and the angels came, and Abraham told Sarah to bake the cake and kill the fatted calf. It was a responsibility, and still today, Joan tells me when she was over there too, hospitality is so important to take care of a stranger and to care for people. But at night, once the door is closed and the wood bar is put there, it's something different. Because let's think about this. Back in first century Palestine, the homes weren't that big. You could probably fit at least five Palestinian homes in the sanctuary area right here. They weren't that big. And at night, you know, the door would be secured and there'd be a bar put across for safety. And then the father and mother and the children would roll out their, like in Japan, they have the mats they put out even today to sleep on the floor. Well, they would sleep on the floor and they had their mats there. And sometimes they would bring in their animals, like their chickens or their goats, to sleep there. Because at night it gets cold in Palestine. And so to keep warm and be together and to be safe. And so when the family settled down and the father blew out the candle, it was dark. And it was really dark. I mean, they didn't have lights like we have today. Unless there's a full moon, it was really dark. It was dark, dark. So everybody was settled and sleeping. So bear that in mind. And now comes a request from a friend. He knocks on the door and says, I need some bread. I had an unexpected guest. Can you help me? So think about this. You know, the father's in bed. The mother's in bed. The kids are in bed. The goat and the chickens are settled down finally. The door's barred. So no wonder the guy said, hey, you know, no, it's the door's closed. Go away. We're all settled down. But he keeps it up. So, you know, think if you're the father and you get up. What are you going to do? You're going to step over your wife so you won't step on her. You're going to watch the kids. You don't want to get the goats going. and the sheep or whatever else he has in there, and then you'll know who you might step on or what you might step in to get to the door, to open it up. I mean, it was a big deal. But the guy persists. And so the man in the house, he didn't want his neighbors to wake up and everybody to be in an uproar, so he relents. Now, if you're a first century Palestine person listening to Jesus, you'd chuckle right now, because it was so funny. And there's humor in the Gospels. You got to look for it, but Jesus had a sense of humor, and it was there. But what did Jesus mean by this story? Is he saying, well, you got to pray persistently and keep bugging God, then God will come through? I mean, is that what he's saying? Or is Jesus saying that God is like the father who says, okay, I'll get up and give you this stuff just to get lost, you don't make more of a fuss? And then after this, Jesus goes on to talk about the relationship between a father and his child. And it's almost a ridiculous story. I mean, well, somebody asks you for something to eat, you're going to give them a scorpion? Or you ask for an egg, you're going to get a snake? Besides being a dirty trick, it'd be inconceivable. Would you do that to your kid? Unless you really got some problems, would you do that to your kids? Of course not. This being so, Jesus comes through finally with the bottom line. If then, as bad as you are, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God give to those who ask him, even giving us the Holy Spirit? How much more? You can't imagine how much God loves you, how precious you are to God, how willing God is to take care of you and to make sure you're safe. You know, he took care of me yesterday on smashing into my neighbor's car. It had been a big mess and an expense, but he took care and he takes care of us. You know, God's not like the begrudging father. He's not like that. God is so far exceeds them in love that all comparison fails. God continues to pour out his love upon us in excess of our needs. Jesus tells us that God wants our prayers. God is so near to us and is waiting for us. If you read the Catechism, Martin Luther, when he talks about the explanation to the introduction to the Catechism, to the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, Luther says this: with these words, God wants to attract us so that we come to believe that he is truly our Father, and we are truly his children, in order that we may ask boldly and with complete confidence, just as loving children ask their loving father or mother. That's what the idea is. I mean, Jesus tells us what? What do we call God? Almighty, all-powerful, omniscient, I am but a worm before you. What does Jesus say to call God in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father. And the word in Aramaic is Abba. You could say Papa. Papa. Loving parent. Papa. This is a close and astonishing to the religious people of his day to have that kind of intimate love of God and know that God loves you that intimately. No wonder we Christians, we can pray freely. We can pray unrestrained. We can pray to God with our happiness, with our sadness. Read the Psalms. There's joy. There's lament. There's anger. It's all there. So you have to hold back with God, because God's our Abba. He gives us love freely and courage and compassion and health, who wants to give us all that we need and all good things. And he does. He does. He's our loving Abba, who radically wants us to know that he loves us and he's near to us. Now, Martin Luther said in another place in his writings, all who call on God earnestly and in true faith will be heard and receive according to their petition. I mean, one of the problems with Christians praying, sometimes they don't believe God's there to answer. or God's there to listen, or that it even changes God. It does. It does. And he says, though the answer may not perhaps at the very hour be answered in the very time, nor in the measure of their petitions, not exactly what they pray for, yet they will receive something much better, greater, and more glorious. Prayer is faith that God's answer is good, and it might be unexpected, and it might not be, because God's not like, hey, God, I want this, I want a Rolex, I want this, I want the Steelers to win today, I want this. No, no, God's not our doorman. God's not like that. God loves us too much. It's not our ego, but God wants us to know that we can live outside because his word comes to us from the outside, and that in that we can love him. We can love ourselves and love our neighbor as ourselves. Our character, our faith, our love grow of something wonderful. And sometimes it's in the wrestling with God that we really get the insight and the wisdom. Look at what Karen read today, first reading. Abraham, hey God, listen, Solomon, good morning. No, you know, you're a good God. If there's 50 people, you get, no, 45. Don't get mad at me, God. If there's 30, you know, if there's 10. Abraham was bold with God, and he wrestled with God. I mean, Jacob wrestled with God and became Israel. Because when you're wrestling with God, sometimes God, through that struggle sometimes, we get an answer and get an insight. Because there's the clue, it's really fellowship with God. That's the core of prayer. That means for us. And we get to know ourselves better. I mean, Abraham found out, hey, Sodom's pretty bad. There's not even good 10 good people there. So, wow, I didn't know it was that bad. I'd like to share with you a poem from an unknown author entitled Prayer of Faith. And it shows that God knows us so deeply, and he knows more what we need than what we think we need. The prayer, it goes like this. I ask God for strength that I might achieve, but I was made weak that I might humbly obey. I ask for health that I might do great things. I was given infirmity that I might know what is truly great. I ask God for riches that I might be happy, but I was given poverty that I might be wise. I ask God for power that I might have the praise of other people. I was given weakness that I might feel the need of God. I ask for all things that I might enjoy life, but I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for, but everything I needed. Almost in spite of myself, my prayers were answered. I am among all people most blessed, most blessed. Today, Jesus gives us the clear picture of the heart of God, a God who invites us to call him Abba, Papa, or if you want, Mama. God is spirit. A little girl kept bugging her father, Daddy, I want an ice cream cone. Daddy, I want a bicycle. Daddy, I want... And he picked her up and hugged her, because what she really wanted was the love of her father. That's the main thing we want, the love of our Father. Or as Hellesby said, we pray to let Jesus come into our hearts. So when you pray, say joyfully, Abba, Papa. You say Mama, Papa, Mama. Ask and you will receive. Jesus says, seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Always know, though, that the gift we get might be unexpected, but the answer is always good. What you most deeply, deeply, truly need. How do you know this? Simply, the Bible tells us God is love. God loves you. God loves to hear from you. And so when you pray, say, loving parent, Abba, Abba, Abba. And then take it from there. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.